Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission. Staying connected when Jesse travels is pretty difficult for us. Neither one of us really likes to talk on the phone. But we did realize you can't be apart for a week with very little communication and then just have like a date and feel caught up. I think that's what we tried for a bit.
Right.
He would travel. We would have a very good rhythm. The next day, we're going out for breakfast because our kids were in preschool then. And we're thinking, well, fine, we're going to go out for breakfast and that's just going to catch us up. Yeah. But that doesn't equal out, right? So our mentors really encouraged us to make sure we were connecting every day and that we could give each other that gift of connection. So I would try to just send Jesse a photo. Here's life right now in the moment. The kids are playing on the floor. Nothing special, nothing spectacular. And then he could send me a photo. Here's the training. Here's the sunset in the village, you know, whatever it is. And so that really helped us to stay connected on that daily level, to try to say, good morning, I love you, good evening, or good night, you know, like to have those little connection points. What have you guys done to stay connected with your husbands while they travel?
Now, I remember when I was younger, we had some meeting, and one of the older ladies said, I always send my husband a spicy email. I'm like,
That's awesome.
You know?
Yes.
But you don't, I mean, you know, we live in a country where everybody is looking at the phone, you know, your phone.
I know, you'd be nervous.
So you have to code it.
Okay.
So there may be some code words you can use. Yes. I'll leave that up to you.
Yes. Love it. Love it.
I can't wait to go to the park. Just kidding. Yes. Anyway.
I wasn't expecting that.
That's not what we use, by the way.
No, I won't read your phone.
Anyway, but not too long ago, I just felt like we weren't connected. And I found this book called Reconnected by the Gary Smalley's son and daughter-in-law. And it was really good, really more for empty nesters about how to really reconnect with your spouse. We not only read the book together, we even did the audio.
Okay.
So we did both.
So good resource. Reconnected by Gary Smalley's son and daughter-in-law.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but last name Smalley.
We can look that up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
You know, another good thing to remember is sometimes, for me, Randy feels like he can do so much more. You know, I can go here, I could go here, I can do this. And you're trying to plan out the calendar. You're like, that's a whole lot of travel. You know, are you sure you can do this? He reminded me. It was like, you know, sometimes I think I could do more, but you need to remind me of my limit. Because we all, like you said, Jesse comes home poured out. He has poured out everything.
Yes.
And it's very hard for me because I want to say, blah, 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 blah. I want to talk about everything.
Uh-huh.
And he just can't even absorb it. So he's like, I can't even really listen. I am just so on empty. I need to refill with the Lord and with, you know, just life. And so trying to balance that, I've heard of people writing everything down. Maybe just text it, you know, so he can read it or whatever. So
yeah,
some good idea.
And hopefully, when possible, letting that day after he gets home have a little space, not filling that up.
That's what we've tried because I've learned through failure. I will tell you this, because when he got back, I have not seen another adult for quite a time, you know, quite a long time. So, yeah, I want to talk to you. I want to tell you all the things and da, da, da. And he would be exhausted. He's been in the language. He's been with nationals, having to put out fires, whatever it would be, you know, and I'm just spitting off. And so I learned, very similar to what y'all just said, someone said, consider that day they come back a travel day, but we've never, not out in the field, but when they're at home, meaning they're back, but give them space to decompress. I've even learned that now that I have gotten to travel some. I'm exhausted. I'm learning that now too, getting back and just giving them some time to decompress and not asking all the questions then.
So yes, we're both fresh in the mornings. And so it's good to maybe that next morning have
a time where you're coming together and you're having a conversation. Mm-hmm. Like you talked about the book. That's a great idea. Even being in the same, reading the same
scripture.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Being in the word, the same, in the same place together, even though you're apart. I'll just send him messages throughout the day. And I know one thing I've learned, they're not always going to be able to respond very quickly. I mean, there's times you're like, I haven't heard from him all day. Mm-hmm. And I may not. He may be in so many different conversations. And so I have learned he's going to message me at some point and say, and ask how I am, pray for me, tell me he loves me, something very sweet. But I may not be able to talk to him that day, but he's going to do his best to call me at some point. And sometimes it's in the morning. It may not be at night.
I'm remembering a time when we were leading a couple and the wife was feeling really discouraged because she was in a season of a lot of littles, homeschooling, not getting out a lot. And for our organization, we fill out a monthly report. You have to share what you've been doing, how you're abiding, how you're serving. And she felt like she had nothing to put down. And that was so discouraging for her. And I remember that Jesse and I told them, you can feel free to put down all the trainings that your husband did in your report because you're a package deal and none of those would have happened if you weren't home strong enough to care for your kids and send your husband out with joy. You contributed to all that. You contributed to all those trainings. So if that helps you remember that you're a team, and remember that you have a very important contribution, then put that on your report. So sometimes we have to really encourage one another, right? Build each other up. Do you have ways that you have seen sisters encourage one another in this area?
Well, I think it's really important because what we know we need, we know others need as well, right? And the things where we've been encouraged, we can also give encouragement to others, you know, from God's word. I think sometimes inviting them maybe to say, hey, can I come and bring a meal to you or brownies or whatever? Or possibly saying, can I take your kids so you can have a little time?
Singles, actually, hear that, singles?
Local neighbors, I got pink eye and she was so sweet to say, let me take the kids so you can just rest. And that meant so much, you know, you know, being kind of conscious. Okay. When is somebody that I know their husband going out of town? Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's write something on the calendar to do for them or call them or some way to be conscious that we can help them.
Yeah.
The point of view.
Right. Even if we message them, just say, hey, I know your husband's out. I'm praying for you today.
Yeah.
I think, and we've been hitting on this, but really making sure that you understand where your identity is coming from. Mm. If it's coming from anything that you are doing, then not only will you put expectations on yourself that aren't correct, you will also put them on others. It will inevitably flow out of you onto other people. So you'll either you'll judge others for not doing enough or for doing too much. And so being grounded in who you are in Christ, what you are accountable to, or who you're accountable to and what you're accountable for, understanding that at the end of your days, you will stand before the Lord. I struggle with that ministry report. I would struggle every month. But what I loved is I had a supervisor. We had a great relationship and I did not feel judged by her if that month I didn't have a lot. If there were months I did have a lot, it was, don't feel prideful about that. Uh-huh. But I did struggle with that. There was one question on there of how are you contributing to your role or something like that. But I don't know. I'm in the home. And so I never even thought about what you and Jesse said. That's a huge thing because you are. I mean, if you're looking at 1 Corinthians 12, and I know it's talking about spiritual gifts, but I love where it talks about the eye cannot say to the ear, I have no need of you. Every part is important. And so, yes, you may not feel like you're doing the most important work, but it is important. And without that work, your husband couldn't be out doing what he's doing. And so you're just as much a part of that. Just like in the States, when we go back and we speak to our churches and partners there, and when they're telling us they're praying for us, I mean, I have people that pray for me that are messaging almost daily. I feel like they're just as much a part of this work because they are lifting us up in prayer. They know our partners. They've come out to see us and know them. It feels huge. And so in the same way, I feel like you can really encourage other moms you are doing a really important work. But yes, my caution would be, do not judge. I mean, your words can really hurt.
Yeah.
So make sure you're encouraging moms who may be in the home a lot more, homebodies, whatever they may be, or I would rather invite ladies to my home, or I'd rather go out. Well, encourage them. Be willing to cheer on other ladies and what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And don't feel like, well, I'm going to judge it for what they're not doing or judge them for what they are doing. I think that's just, when we do that, we are comparing and putting competition and division in the body where it doesn't need to be. But how can I encourage this sister who is living overseas, raising a family overseas? I mean, this is huge. And I love that. Yes, singles, you can help families for sure. We love you. But yes, other moms, I've had teammates take on my kids for a day, say, you go out with the ladies today. And then I take their kids and they go out for a day.
Yep.
And that was huge. And it's, oh, we don't get to do it together, but we are doing it together because we're helping each other in this.
Yep.
And that was huge. I've even had when our at times where our husbands traveled together and they would come and spend the night, we would do sleepovers all together. That was so sweet. So
yep.
I think there's one thing you just really remember. I know you could easily put down because I'm supporting my husband while he's out. But also your kids, you are discipling your kids and modeling. And that is absolutely something that you can be proud of your doing.
Absolutely. This has been so rich. You all have shared so many good principles, tips, vulnerable sharing. I appreciate it so much. Do you have anything else that you wanted to share to encourage moms or parents on the field?
One word of caution I would give that I have seen is when you are coming together with your spouse to determine how much they should travel, one thing that I've noticed is we can come with our own expectations first. Okay, let me give an example here. You can travel this many days. You can't travel that many days. You can go here, but you can't go here. We have our own limitations, that's what I should say, for what they can and can't do. And that's where we start. Whereas if I could give a word of caution to families coming on the field, talk to your supervisors, whoever it's going to be, and ask them what does your area need? What does the target need? Like I'll just tell you about us. When we did live in a certain area of South Asia, the roads are terrible and it was mountain roads. I mean, it was going to be at least a day to get to wherever they needed to be. So that's, you know, day getting there, day coming back. That's 2 days. So how much time could they spend there? We knew that travel was going to be an integral part of the work. Now, I don't want to say, oh, Jimmy was so needed, you know, they'd spend all 10 days here. But what is your target need? And once we started there, kind of worked that way inwards, it really helped us not to put our own limitations on I'm willing to do this, Lord, but not this. So I understand every family is different and we are going to have those things. Uh-huh. There are specific needs for our children that we need to take in consideration, our own specific needs. But if we put our needs in front, then you're kind of running a risk of saying, not totally being honoring to the Lord, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Entitlement.
Yes, entitlement. I know that everyone has needs, but sometimes there are really their desires.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so,
I'm hearing the word surrender.
Yes.
Surrendering, being surrendered to the Lord to listen to his voice.
Philippians 2, think of somebody else more important than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, just that communication, you've got to have that open, vulnerable communication with your husband to talk through this. Mm-hmm. Sit down and look at the schedule and respect that. Respect each other and work together.
The other thing I would say that I mentioned is, how do you best set up your family when the spouse does travel? So what I mean by that is, as I mentioned earlier, Jimmy taught me how to drive. That was huge for me. Does not mean that every woman needs to know how to drive. I'm not judging. That was a huge thing for me. It helped me get out with the kids. Another thing, I love to run. And so for a season, we don't have it anymore, but we had a treadmill so that I could run while the kids are at home, while they're sleeping. I could get my exercise in because it just, it helped me. And like you said, house help, that was huge. I fought that for so long because I had that, I'm going to be able to do everything myself. No. Yeah. And it was Jimmy. He said, no, let's bring this sister in. Do whatever you need to do. So there were times I said, I'm going to go out and just read my Bible. Or we lived in a place where you couldn't just get everything in a couple stores. It was multiple stores all along these really narrow roads. And so she would watch our kids while I went and did all my shopping in one day. And that was huge. Mm-hmm. So how do you, I would think for the spouse, if we're speaking to the spouses, also the wives, but how can they best set up their wife to where when they do travel, she's safe, she's cared for, even when they can't be there to help care for her. So that may mean a driver, unknown families that have a driver. House help, any other thing.
Good. So I'll close with a scripture from 1 Corinthians 7, when the Apostle Paul is saying, he's actually encouraging people to stay single. And he says, the unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And that the wife also is anxious about how to please her husband. And so her heart also is divided. And then he says, I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. So the reason I'm bringing this up is because the Apostle Paul is acknowledging that when you're married, it is very different than being single. Your interests are divided. That's the reality. The Apostle Paul did not have to worry about his wife or his children. That's a pretty big factor in his life, right?
Right.
And so if the married man has divided interests, how much more a mom? Her interests are divided between her husband and however many kids she has. Right. The Bible is very realistic, right? This is just validating that these aren't worldly things in a bad way. The Bible honors marriage and parenting and children, but just to show we shouldn't despise the needs of our season, right? We should embrace them with joy and continue to keep just brainwashing ourselves with that biblical identity. Keep filling our minds with truth about who the Lord says we are and his love and approval over our lives. Thank you, Laura and Debbie. You have shared so well, and I pray and trust that this will be such an encouragement to our coworkers.
Thank you. Thank you.